Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Don't want to do was spend $1.1 million on a building that sat empty for 5 years while we tried to find funding to operate it, as an example. So we know, as y'all have heard me say many times, the low barrier shelter, I still believe 100% is necessary.
We have been talking about homelessness the entire time that I have been here, which is, you know, about 10 and a half years now since we came in January of 2014. And in some ways, it can often and understandably feel like we just keep talking and we keep trying to do stuff and some things get struck down and some things don't work and some things we don't follow through on and COVID. And that, yeah, I understand. I do. I absolutely understand. I mean, you know, I'm here too, right? But this conversation about a low barrier shelter took, in my opinion, took a an interesting turn yesterday, or Monday, I guess it was, when Mayor Reeves was doing his press conference. And the turn it took was not regarding the shelter itself. Look, I've said many times, and I'll continue to say, that I appreciate Mayor Reeves, what I consider to be honest adult approach to a lot of issues, which is not always particularly pleasing to people, that, you know, doing this is going to cost this now and cost this much later. And in order to operate, it's going to be this much every year. And so, like, when we buy a park, it's the cost of the park, and then it's the cost of the maintenance of the park, and then it's the cost of the replacements, the things in the park, like the play structures that need to be budgeted for over time. And so, you know, be an adult about these things that you create. Well, when it comes to low barrier shelter, and the idea there, if you're not been following all of this, is low barrier just means it you know, if you're drunk, you know, or if, you know, maybe you have some behavioral issues, or if, you know, you don't have any money whatsoever to pay, because it's very common to charge a fairly low, but still non-zero amount of money to stay at some of these shelters. And the idea of low barrier is sort of no matter what, or you know, very little matter what, you know, for you to be able to have an overnight accommodation to take care of you. And, you know, maybe you use drugs, okay? We're not really saying that you can go ahead and, you know, shoot up inside the facility or anything like that. But, you know, the idea of low barrier is to kind of catch everybody or most everybody that you possibly can. And what he's saying is if you build a facility for $1 million, I mean, that'll make you feel good. But what if you can't then afford to fund and run it? What's the point of having a building that doesn't have people inside of it because you can't handle the staff and funding the staff? Okay, which I agree with all that. But he made an announcement on Monday that I'm going to follow up with him today. We may not get more details. I understand that. But to me, this was a fairly significant announcement.
I'm encouraged by there are some nonprofit services that are considering lowering their barriers. I think a lot inspired by DeCarmine's visit that they realize and in the argument that he makes that when we are reducing homelessness, but we're only taking the top 10% of those, whether they're not addicted, whether they're not on drugs or alcohol when they show up, whether they're Christian or not, those barriers that are generally in place, that means when you're alleviating homelessness and you have those barriers in place, you're taking the pool of homeless individuals who live here and you're taking the top of that pool of the folks that are the easiest to get into a better location.
Yeah. And it's not that there's any flaw or fault in the prerequisite, if you prefer to say it that way, shelters as opposed to barrier. You know, we're just, again, you know, you can't be drunk, you can't be high, you've got to have a little bit of money. You know, maybe there's some profession of faith involved or a willingness to do certain things, okay? There's all kinds of outstanding local charities. But what he's saying is those local charities have these kind of requirements in place. And so when they take the qualified they're not really helping solve the whole problem, and they're kind of solving the easiest part of the problem. You know, the sort of the best cases, so to speak. And he didn't name names, and he may not be willing to name names until they make announcements, or maybe they won't ever make announcements. Maybe it'll just kind of happen on the ground and we won't know about it. I don't know how this will play out. But that local shelter operators would be willing to reassess their requirements for staying and maybe be willing to allow some of the more difficult cases to come in, to me, is a big step. It's not an expansion of the number of beds, but it's an expansion, or at least it might, we don't know yet, but it's an expansion of the people who might be eligible for those beds. And again, if you think about it this way, let's say you take in the, and I hate to say top, but, you know, sort of least problematic 20% of the homeless population that's willing to go into a facility for the night, and instead you start taking, that means you leave 80% on the street, right? The 80% that are the most challenging. What if you revise your standards and now you know, the top 50% are eligible? Well, that means that only the least 50% or the most problematic 50% is left on the street. Now, that's still a problem because it's still like the high problem cases, but there's fewer of them, or there's, you know, more chance that you're going to catch the more difficult ones and give them services that they need and help them and make an improvement in their lives. And so the announcement that local shelters are willing to, again, I hate these terms, but lower their standards in who they take in is, I mean, that's really encouraging because that means they're responding to the need. And because what I perceive that effect will be on the overall population of sort of who's left on the street or in the forest or wherever.
Still amazing work. And I would never, you know, say that it isn't. Without that, I mean, we have amazing partners here that do great work. But I love the idea that maybe we're inspired to lower those barriers at some of our services right now, because we realize that at the barriers we are at right now, in 2024, that may not solve our entire problem.
Yeah, I mean, this is great news. Now, of course, you have to couple that with expanded capacity, right? Which, you know, takes money and people and place. And yet that is a step in the right direction. And it may not be the creation of a whole new facility, which certainly is needed, okay, at a very low or almost no barrier status. But again, it's a step. It's a step. And I know it's kind of easy. I've said for many years, and we kind of thought we were going to have sort of a dashboard, you know, of how many and where are they at and what stage of, you know, treatment are they at. And we just never really have pulled that together. It'd be nice to have. It'd be nice to be able to track and know and have some kind of metric where we can look at it and be like, okay, we were a C and now we're a B. We don't have that. But you can look at something like this semi-announcement and believe that, hey, that's going to make a difference for 10 or 20 or 50 people. And making a difference for 10 or 20 or 50, especially if it doesn't cost public money, great. You don't celebrate that. That's a good thing. 518 here on News Radio Pensacola. John, I have an announcement for you.
Excuse me. Good morning. Yes, you have an announcement. But you shocked me, bro.
Watched Deadpool versus Wolverine last night?
No. Mm-hmm. Okay, don't say a word. I see it today. No, actually tomorrow.
No, you see it tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was it any good?
It's extremely satisfying.
Okay, good.
That's all I'll say. Okay. I mean, seriously.
Thank you.
And
thank
everybody
you.
Shared that opinion. The difference of opinion within the four of us, my wife, me, and the two boys who wanted to go see it, was not over whether it was good. It was over of it was a difference of opinion over how good compared to the other two movies.
Gotcha.
And I'll just leave it at that. Very satisfying. 519 on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay.
Getting quality employees to fill positions in your company is essential. But finding those people can be a major hassle, unless you use ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter makes finding quality people a breeze. And right now, you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. With ZipRecruiter, one click sends your job to hundreds of top job sites. But more than that, ZipRecruiter's advanced technology identifies the candidates with the skills you need, sends you a list of great matches to review, then actively invites them to apply for your job. And the results speak for themselves. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. That's right, the first day. Now you can focus on your business and let ZipRecruiter do the work finding the best people for you. See for yourself. Experience the ease, efficiency, and power of ZipRecruiter for free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Uh-oh!
You've just discovered you have...
bed bugs? What do I do? How to get rid of them? I haven't a clue!
Lori and PJ know just what to do. At Davis Hardware and U-Haul, they have the solution for you.
Hi, can we help you?
We have bed bugs, more than a few.
They are a bugger to eradicate, but we can guide you.
Davis Hardware and U-Haul employees know what happens when infestations get out of hand and have the experience to help you get rid of your uninvited bedmates.
Thank you!
Davis Hardware and U-Haul on L Street just off Fairfield in the center of Pensacola. They're open Monday through Friday, 8 till 5, and Saturday, 8 till noon.
Join Claimology tomorrow morning at 10:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Matthew Vanderford with Claimology will be talking about insurance claims. He'll be discussing storms claims, as well as the importance of being properly insured prior to a storm and inspections after a storm. Matthew will be taking calls to answer your questions so you'll know what you need before the next storm arrives.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Hello, friends. This is retired Santa Rosa County Sheriff Wendell Hall. The clerk of court has a major responsibility to the citizens of our county. They are responsible for thousands of public records, which include court, financial, and treasure. I'm supporting Jason English for clerk of court. Jason has 8 years at the clerk's office as general counsel and chief deputy. He's a good, honest man that will serve us well. Please vote Jason English on August 20th. Thank you.
I'm Jason English, Republican for Santa Rosa County clerk of court and comptroller, and I approve this message.
Guy Benson, keeping you informed of the news every day at 2, right after Mark Lee Van Camp and Robbins on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
What does he want?
What do all men with power want? More power.
Morning, 5:22 here on News Radio 92.3. It's Florida all summer. Oh man! After the movie last night, you know, it was 9:30 or whatever, and I get out to walk into the car. I'm like, oh. And then you're in the car and in the air conditioning, and then you get out of the air, and you're like, oh. Just it's I got Florida all over me. And you know, somebody made a note. Maybe a week or two ago when we were talking about the temperature, and they're like, I'm so sick of people who work in air conditioning buildings complaining about the heat. Oh, no, I'm 100% with you. I am grateful that I don't have a job where I have to work out in it, and I am appreciative of those who do because I can't even imagine. I mean, you know, the closest I come is doing yard work or something like that. David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, Andrew. The Israeli military says it wants to avoid a wider war with Hezbollah, but they say they're also ready for any scenario. Their military spokesman, Daniel Hagari, released a statement yesterday claiming that Israeli fighter jets eliminated a senior Hezbollah military commander near Beirut. Former President Donald Trump's invite to the National Association of Black Journalists Convention in Chicago apparently getting some backlash now. Trump will be participating in a Q&A today with political journalists about issues facing the black community. And today at the Paris Olympics, LeBron James and the U.S. men's basketball team square off with South Sudan, looking to improve to 2-0. The U.S. women's soccer team also meets in Australia.
Did you get a chance to watch any of the... Are you an Olympics guy?
I you know, okay, I see the highlights. I see the highlights.
Oh, the women's gymnastics was fantastic. And, you know, you get several passes at all the gymnastics events, right? But the team all around, the team competition was amazing. And even though Simone Biles did not... She was not perfect, okay? Nobody was perfect yesterday. But they just, I mean, by 6 points, they win, you know, in a scale where I think it was like, you know, 280 is what they had. So, I mean, by a lot, they won the gold. And just watching her perform, it's just different. You know, you watch LeBron James play basketball, okay?
Right.
And you're like, it's just different. You know, when you watch these super elite athletes in any sport perform, it's hard to explain to somebody who doesn't watch the sport or know the sport or enjoy the sport, you know, what the difference is exactly. Well, it's faster, stronger, crisper, more thrilling, you know, but those are all things you only know because you know the sport. But I'm, you know, you watch, you know, I mean, Jordan Chiles is great and the other ones, they are, they're very, very, very good. And you watch Simone Biles, you're like, it's just a completely different thing. It's a
whole different tier.
Even when she steps out, even when she takes a step, it's almost, I mean, it's amazing when it's perfect. And even when it's not perfect, it's still amazing. So it's very satisfying to see that. Only the fourth gold for the U.S. so far. I think I think all three of the others are in swimming. I know we've got a couple of them in swimming. I don't remember for sure what the fourth one is just yet. But, you know, a lot of these sports are kind of coming to their culmination, the team sports, the pool play sports, and that kind of stuff, their first week of competition. David, thanks so much for the update, 525. And John, you're not other than basketball, you're not much of an Olympics guy.
I've been actually watching the Olympics.
Oh, okay. All right. Did you get a chance to watch the gymnastics yesterday?
Did
I describe it accurately?
Yes. Yeah, very accurately.
I do watch my sports a lot on Fast Forward. Okay.
Right.
I do not watch them live. So I will not catch every nook and cranny of the, you know, the commentary, which is probably best.
That is for you.
Yeah.
Let me just be honest with you.
I don't know. I don't know if I want to get into this or not. The big story of the previous day had been the kid who was the pommel horse specialist for the USA. That was his only event.
Correct.
They did it because in the team you have a strategy. Strategy one is you bring in a bunch of all around people. Strategy two is you bring in people who are generally good, but a couple of them you bring in who are kind of like ringers on that event. No pun intended for the men's gymnastics. But you bring, you know, and he was, that's all he did.
Right.
And he was amazing at it.
He was.
But can I be the one to say, I mean, all you had to do was one thing. How does that make you a superstar, you know?
But
they overemphasized this one person's significance in the grand scheme of the men. Getting bronze for the first time, they haven't gotten a medal in, like, what, 16 years?
Right.
I mean, that's good. And somebody wonders, well, how can the women do so well and the men do so poorly? I don't know. Just culture, recruiting, athletic pool, the state of men's gymnastics in the United States versus in, you know, China or Russia or whatever, or, you know, other countries. But still, I thought, okay, well, it's a cool story. It's a fun story. But, I mean, come on. He did the one thing. Everybody else has to do everything in order to even make it possible for him to do that one thing.
You didn't listen to the commentators, obviously.
Tell me more.
No, I'm just saying that they kind of built him up. But they built up.
They showed him napping.
Well, I
as
know
part of the
that,
coverage.
But they should.
Look at Clark Kent napping. Stop
for
it.
His Superman appearance.
Oh, God.
But anyway, so they built it where at the very end for that bronze medal,
he had to do what he did.
So it was a really good story.
It was a great story arc. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I still say it's a weird,
I know.
It's weird.
I know.
Super weird. 528. And again, nothing to take away from what he did, which was.
No, it was amazing.
Yeah. But, you know, if you got to go start yourself a country's Olympics program, you pick him or the other guys.
The other guys.
Right? I mean, you know, I hate to be the one to say it.
It's okay.
Ran on everybody's fun parade. 528 on News Radio 92.3. Interesting development. So, you know, in the opening ceremonies, there was some controversy. I don't know if you heard. From some, and then from others and people like me, and I had a different take on all that. But you remember the basic response by the Paris Olympics Committee and by the director had been, you didn't understand the drag show. It wasn't the Last Supper. It was this other piece of art that isn't as famous, and it was Greek gods and Dionysus, and it was the, you know, the Bacchanalia and all of that. Okay. Well, now, apparently, we're finding out that maybe not so much. Maybe it really was the Last Supper. And, you know, that they realized when it all went so wrong in terms of public reaction Paris 2024 Olympic spokespersons, this is on background, but still, there you go, admitted the controversial drag show version of Last Supper seen in Friday's opening ceremony was indeed inspired by the iconic Da Vinci mural. You mean your lion eyes didn't lie to you? You saw what you saw. Despite attempting to vehemently deny it following fierce backlash, Thomas Jolly took inspiration as a quote, Thomas Jolly took inspiration from Leonardo da Vinci's famous painting to create the setting. An Olympic spokesperson admitted to the New York Post in a statement on Saturday, referring to the opening ceremony creative director. He's not the first artist to make a reference to what is a world-famous work of art. From Andy Warhol to The Simpsons, many have done it before him, including The Sopranos. Okay. I mean, obviously. And that's why I said yesterday, or maybe the day before, it doesn't matter whether you would even try to do it from something else. You had to know it would be perceived that way. And to find out that it really was based on that, well, it's not really a surprise, so just don't lie.
The political leader of the Hamas militant group at war with Israel since October, Ismail Haniyeh, is killed after attending the inauguration of Iran's new president.
We're told the building he was staying in, a residence for military veterans, was hit by an airstrike at 2 a.m. local time. President Pezeshkian says Israel will regret the cowardly killing. Israel hasn't commented, but Haniyeh's death comes just hours after a top Hezbollah commander died in an airstrike in Lebanon.
Fox's Jonathan Savage. Trump ally Carrie Lake wins the Republican nomination for Senate in Arizona, beating Pinal County Sheriff Mark Lamb.
He ran a great campaign based on, we never hit below the belt, which is so rare in politics.
Congressman Ruben Gallego ran unopposed for the Democrats. Independent Senator Kyrsten Sinema is retiring from that seat. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio Pensacola. I'm David Wayne. Right now it's 80 degrees in Pensacola. Heat index up to about 90 so far this morning. Pensacola's Five Sisters Restaurant receiving a $50,000 grant from the National Trust for Historic Preservation. That's part of a grant program for backing historic small restaurants. The money will be used for exterior renovations, such as a new marquee sign, a mural, ADA improvements, and a relocation of the front entry, as well as some exterior lighting. 50 small restaurants across the country were selected for that grant program. Five Sisters was the only recipient here in Florida. Now the investigation still continuing after Sunday's shooting at the Wedgewood Community Center. Sheriff Chip Simmons says somebody knows something.
Someone knew that there was a stolen vehicle that people were driving around in. Someone knew that they all loaded up in there. Someone knew these people. There's a driver. There's four people. And then they ditched the car. So someone knows how they got a ride back. Someone knows what they did. And my comment at the press conference was, wait a second, if all this stuff is retaliation and you don't know anything about anything, how do you know who do you retaliate against?
And Simmons said some witnesses didn't want to cooperate with the investigation. Seven people in total were shot during the incident, including an 11-year-old child. Two men, a 21 and a 24-year-old, were killed. Three suspects have not yet been identified. The community center, the Wedgewood Center, remains closed after what county officials called systemic issues at that facility. A tropical wave out in the Atlantic could be the next named storm of the season. The National Hurricane Center tracking that system near the Lesser Antilles. Forecasters are giving it about a 60% chance of developing over the next week. And they say it could form into a tropical depression later this week near the Greater Antilles or the Bahamas. Its impact on the U.S. would still be uncertain. When it comes to the best and worst states for health care, Florida ranked in the bottom third. Personal finance website WalletHub looked at 44 measures of health care, including cost, accessibility, and outcomes. Florida ranked 42nd out of 50 states and Washington, D.C. States with the best health care were ranked as being Minnesota, Rhode Island, South Dakota, Iowa, and New Hampshire. The worst healthcare systems were Mississippi, Alabama, West Virginia, Georgia, and Oklahoma. Santa Rosa County Commissioner Sam Parker's lawsuit against gun store owner Chris Smith will continue. Circuit Court judge rejected a motion this week to dismiss the lawsuit. Parker claims videos posted by Smith on social media were derogatory and unfairly used his likeness in an ad for Smith's Gulf Coast gun shop. Smith says those videos are protected political speech and satire, not ads. His attorney said the videos just happened to be filmed in the store. The News Journal reports that the judge said Smith's defense should be argued during the further stages of that litigation. 5:35 at News Radio Pensacola. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast.
We will have a chance of some scattered showers and thunderstorms through the day today. 40% chance of rain. Outside of that, mostly sunny skies with a high near 92. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 78. For Thursday, 40% chance of rain, high near 94. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 79 degrees. We're going to keep that rain chance around on Friday with a 40% chance of rain and a high near 94. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV Weather App. This is Brooke Richardson for the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. It's 80 in Pensacola, 81 in Gulf Breeze, 79 in Milton. Our next news at 6 and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio Pensacola.
We need your help.
It's the Cat Country Cares for Kids Radiothon for the Studer Family Children's Hospital.
The 6th annual Cat Country Cares for Kids Radiothon is Friday, August 16th in the lobby of the Studer Family Children's Hospital, presented by Hanto and Clark.
Hear stories of bravery and inspiration from local kids and families who have benefited from the care and expertise of the hospital's highly trained physicians and staff.
All the money stays right here.
Special thank you to miracle sponsor, Florida Blue.
Our champion sponsors include Kia Autosport and Tell Staffing and HR.
Thank you.
Proceeds will benefit the life-saving programs and services at Studer Family Children's Hospital.
This year, help us raise money for the NICU's Angel Eye cameras.
You can get more at catcountrycares.com or text KIDS to 850-430-1987.
Proudly supporting your kids at the Cat Country Cares for Kids Radiothon.
I'm Dr. Karen Barber, Superintendent of Schools, and I lead 3,100 educators who are dedicated to the success of our students. Under my leadership, teachers have received an average of 16% in raises, moving the average teacher salary from 1.06 below the state average to 1.01 above the state average. We have procured over $17 million in additional funding for STEM and workforce education, and we have earned an A-plus credit rating. On August 20th, vote to re-elect Dr. Karen Barber for Santa Rosa Superintendent.
Political advertisement paid for and approved by Dr. Karen Barber, Santa Rosa Superintendent of Schools.
This is a test of the emergency alert system. This is only a test.
When hurricanes are brewing and heading to the Gulf, tune in to News Radio Pensacola for complete storm coverage you can count on. We have direct reports from the Emergency Management Center and from the National Hurricane Center to give you the latest on the storm's path, strength, and impacts. Stay informed and stay safe with comprehensive hurricane coverage heard on News Radio Pensacola. Now on 92.3, 95.3, AM 1620, and on our News Radio Pensacola mobile app.
But let's talk about personal responsibility. Let's talk about the community involvement. Let's talk about why this took place. Let's talk about the fact that someone knows who these three people are. Someone knows where these people stayed last night. Someone knows that there was a white car that they've been driving. One of them have been driving. Someone knows that. Now talk about the community working, talking about the community helping us out. Talk about personal responsibility, community responsibility. Let's talk about the fact that there's a mother that will not let her child talk to law enforcement. That was there. There's a witness at this situation, and they would not let her talk to law enforcement.
You could tell from the press conference that Chip Simmons did on Monday following the mass shooting. I mean, really, two people dead and five people wounded at the Wedgewood Community Center over the weekend, that he was frustrated. And understandably so, frustrated by the events, frustrated by the lack of cooperation. And, you know, I certainly understand that. I think a lot of people are with all of this. We talked to him yesterday, as we typically do on a Tuesday. Sheriff Simmons, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News. Were you frustrated by that?
I think there's room for a little frustration. I think that there's room for that whenever you continue to talk to the community, continue to talk to these people about what's taking place. I think my if there's some frustration there, and those are your words, but I if you're frustrated with violence, call me guilty.
Right, you know, of course.
And if you see what I see, if you hear the backstories and you hear, you know, like I was talking about the mother that wouldn't let her child talk to law enforcement, that can be frustrating because these are the same people that will expect us. How come you haven't solved this crime in an hour and a half or 2 hours? Because the men and women of the sheriff's office are out there every day just busting their butt, doing what they can to keep our community safe and to make sure that the people that are responsible for these types of things are you know, brought to justice. And so there was some frustration there because I want people to understand, you know, I termed it, now is the time we would ask for community involvement. Now is the time we would talk about community. And sometimes you get, you know, we do that a lot. You know, you don't get tired of it because it's things that have to be said. But sometimes I think that you can continue to say these things, and some, for some reason it doesn't resonate with some people. Mm-hmm. Resonate with some people.
You know, and I totally get the catch 22 that, you know, why haven't you solved this crime that we refuse to help you solve? You know, I get that. Just to play devil's advocate, though, you know, if you're in a community where you're worried about your safety and your kid's safety all the time, and this is the kind of stuff that's happening, there is a part of me that kind of can see why a parent would feel like she's protecting a kid from being identified or whatever. And we know that ultimately that has to change, but how do you persuade them to change that? How do you get that buy-in that, you know, man, if we would just cooperate, we can actually solve a lot of these things, but us not cooperating is the problem.
Yeah, well, our job is to go out there and investigate the crime. And when we get out there and we try to talk to people that witnessed something take place, whether it is at this specific location or another scenario, we need to get the information. And we talk to people, and if people don't want to help us out, then it's not that it will, you know, cause us not to be able to investigate, but it will certainly hamper the investigation. It makes things more difficult. And again, we always push for people to tell us what they know, even if it's Crime Stoppers, even if you're concerned about some kind of retaliation, if there's an involvement that only you would know. And if the information came out, we're not going to put an 11-year-old child out there on the stand to point out someone typically. If it happened in a house, then there may be no choice for that. But my point in saying all of the whole press conference was that someone knows or knew something probably before this even happened. Someone knew that there was a stolen vehicle that people were driving around in. Someone knew that they all loaded up in there. Someone knew these people. There's a driver. There's four people. And then they ditched the car. So someone knows how they got a ride back. Someone knows what they did. And my comment at the press conference was, wait a second, if all this stuff is retaliation and you don't know anything about anything, how do you know who do you retaliate against? So my point is, and what we all know, is that they know who did it. These aren't random acts of violence. This is a targeted drive-by shooting or ambush again.
And you're talking about groups of people who all talk to each other and share information, and everybody knows everybody's business, and then all of a sudden something like this happens and nobody knows nothing?
Yeah, well, we get screenshots periodically from Facebook, and so people do know what's going on.
Yeah.
We get word from people, and they're probably pouring in now. Oh, we heard this person did it, or this nickname did that, nickname did it. So people do know, and we do get some information. I'm not saying we don't get anything. I think my frustration was more or less that it actually happened, and that this time it even injured an 11-year-old.
Right.
And because these people don't care. These guys do not care about who they hurt whenever they set out to do these things.
Is the barrier to people talking to you, is it they're scared? Is it they don't trust law enforcement? They don't want to talk to cops? Like, what is the actual thing impeding? Because what I was thinking is, if it's that they don't want to talk to cops, would there be an opportunity to, I don't know, bring people in who aren't cops to talk to them? Or, you know, I mean, even dumb stuff like I'm thinking, well, if they don't want to talk to white cops, you know, would they be more willing to talk to black cops? I mean, I'm just trying to, is there any creative way to solve the problem? Or is it they're just scared?
Well, I mean, that's why we have Crime Stoppers. And we mentioned, I mentioned Crime Stoppers a second ago, and I'll mention it again. It's anonymous. You can pick up the phone, and we can't ask your name. In fact, if you give us your name, we can't use the information.
Do they know about that? Yeah, do they know that it's really protected?
There's Crime Stoppers, there's Student Crime Stoppers, and we keep telling them. Now, there may be a distrust amongst anybody.
Right, right.
But I can tell you, it's not even operated out of the sheriff's office. It's through the attorney general's office. So there are so many things that protections in place so that people can't find out who it is that's giving the information. And, oh, by the way, you can actually get some money. So if you're not in the car with them, but you know what's going on, you make a phone call, and if that call leads to an arrest, you could be eligible for that cash reward. Those are very important things. Let me get back to what you mentioned about, do they not trust law enforcement? If you recall, back in the 80s, there was this, let's have cops and kids and get together so that there's not this distrust of law enforcement. In the community that we get out all the time, I don't know that there is a distrust of law enforcement. We try to be as transparent as we possibly can with everything that we're doing. Mm-hmm. So I don't know there's a distrust. I think there is an unwillingness to get involved. I just think it's, that there are people that just don't want to get involved. That's someone else's business, someone else's family were the victims, and I'm just not going to get involved. I don't get a call and say, hey, they just don't trust law enforcement, so they're going through this intermediary.
Okay.
I don't get that. I think that we're out there in our community so much that I think people have an opportunity to engage with law enforcement without having, being a witness to an event. I think that there are things that that we can continue to improve on. I mean, we're always looking for ways to improve.
So it sounds like
I don't think it's a distrust. I really don't. I think it's just an unwillingness to get involved. And my assumption is that the people that see something and they don't say something, it can be either that they're worried for their own safety, as we talked about, maybe go through Crime Stoppers, or they just don't want to get involved.
So it's instead of. So when you said personal responsibility, what you mean is like community responsibility is the some people walk through a park and there's trash on the ground and they pick it up and they throw it in the trash can. Other people walk through the park and there's trash on the ground and they leave it. And then other people add to the trash. Right. And sounds like what you're saying is that it's a common enough thing where people, I'd make the trash doesn't affect me. I'm just not going to deal with it. I don't want to be involved.
You step
in
over
this.
It. Right.
Yeah. As opposed to we need you to start help picking up the trash.
Well, I think there's a couple things there, and my comment was that if you start saying, okay, why is this happening in my mm-hmm. community? Well, the people that did the shooting, they're responsible. They're the ones that are responsible. Let's point the finger at the right people.
Right.
They're the ones. Don't point the finger, in this situation at least,
at
don't
the
point the finger at the school district or at the county or the sheriff's office.
Or the basketball
game. Don't blame the basketball. Blame the violent crime. But specifically blame the people that did it. The people that mm-hmm. load up with weapons and decide to just shoot into a group of people because you're mad at one or two particular people. Blame them. Let's hold them accountable. Let's hold them responsible. And if we do that, not just from a law enforcement standpoint, but from a community standpoint, if the community as a whole says, hey, you know what? Little Johnny is the bad guy. Mm-hmm. Let's do what we can to stop little Johnny collectively. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about that in the pulpit. Let's talk about that at schools, at the dinner tables. Let's talk about that, hey, to our kids and say, do you know this person? Because I think that person is doing up to no good.
Yeah.
Let's start having that. Let's raise our level of acceptance in the community so that there is some peer pressure to avoid that sort of thing and to let people know, hey, that's not cool in our community and we're not going to have any of it.
Did I also understand Commissioner May correctly that the Wedgewood Community Center is shut down till further notice? Is that what he said?
Well, there was a lot here. Again, you have 7 people that are injured and 2 people deceased.
Yeah, I mean, it's a mass shooting.
A lot.
I mean, this is probably going to wind up, sadly, being national news, I would think, with 2 people killed and 5 people wounded and a kid and, outside the community center while they're, shooting dice out under the awning or whatever.
So there's a lot there. We're and it's not really mine to unpack. This is, for the county to decide, hey, who organized a basketball game? Did the basketball game have anything to do with it?
Right.
Is the basketball game every week? Did they know it was a basketball game? Is the basketball game also the dice game that was taking place?
Right.
Is the dice game taking place every weekend? And I don't have the answers to all of that. That's not something that the sheriff's office would be organizing. So I think the county's going to take a look at that, and I think they're going to have, in my words, a stand down. Let's evaluate what we have here, because we talk a lot about who's organizing these events? And,
right.
And are you having the proper safety protocols in place?
Because it's often gatherings, and you've many times. It's the gathering.
We talk about it all the
time.
It's
you get enough people together, and mm-hmm. somebody looks wrong at somebody's girlfriend, or somebody said something to somebody at a party 4 weeks ago, or they did a crime, and now they found out these people are here, and we call our buddy to come. Yeah.
Right. You can go back. We had one at the Boys and Girls Club where deputies were attacked. We had an open house party where someone was shot and killed. You have this thing where, again, it's another gathering. We have these signs I had made up for this special event location to charge people double and hold the organizers accountable. And so we're working on that from a law enforcement perspective. But I think that and I'm not putting words in Commissioner May's mouth, but my understanding is they're going to say, hey, let's find out how this thing was organized. Because while I don't know all of the details on how an association of some sort can start to run an entire community center, I don't know what involvement or oversight the county has. And my understanding was that's what Commissioner Webb was looking for. Let's look back at how we're doing things so that we don't have this type of.
And meanwhile, your agency, as you've told us many times, you have started to change your response to things like the car thefts. You're actively pursuing car thefts because you know they're so tightly connected to felonies and homicides. And you had a car chase wind up in a telephone pole. And you got the perpetrators, right?
Well, let's talk about that. If you recall, a couple of weeks ago, we had someone steal a car and shoot a lady that's 70 years old and sitting in her front yard. That was a stolen car. Mm-hmm. The white car that I talked about yesterday that was recovered was the white car. It was a stolen car from a month ago. And I've been mentioning for months now that they're stealing these cars, hiding them away in places and using them when they want to. So they're driving these stolen cars. So I have, yes. I've told my deputies that if you can catch a stolen car, go ahead and stop it, which means pit it, turn it, whatever you got to do to stop it. Because I don't want it to get going fast. I don't want it to go running through red lights and endanger others. So that's what happened. The stolen car fled and ended up crashing into a telephone pole. In this situation, there were three people in it. Two of them stayed and one of them fled, and we have not yet arrested that individual. That's what we're doing. We're trying to clean up our community, and I do know. And I've just given you examples of the correlation between stolen cars, drive-by shootings. Again, I can give you those. I can give you two of those examples just off the top of my head.
Yeah. So solving the problem at one of its sources, which is the stolen automobile. And we didn't even have time to talk about the horrible story of a mom apparently murdered, stabbed and shot. And this you kind of added that as a, oh hey, did you also know? I mean, it was a really bad day.
Well, yeah, it was a rough day, but that case, they had someone from out of state calling the Pensacola Police Department and said, hey, this friend of theirs just said they killed your mother. So and then the address was in the county, so we took it over and started figuring out what's going on. Ultimately, found the mother had been shot and stabbed over a dozen times. End up arresting him for that. So that's kind of some weird domestic violence.
Yeah, completely unrelated, these are the things you guys are responding to all the time. Well, Sheriff, I appreciate the work you're doing, the various things that you're trying to do to be more effective, and I sympathize with you, the frustration at trying to get, cooperation from people who are just not willing, or not interested enough to cooperate. But we'll talk to you again next week. Thank you, as always, for the time. Thanks for doing what you do to keep us safe. I appreciate it, sir.
You bet. Y'all take care.
There was... I was thinking about this when I was talking to the sheriff yesterday and just didn't have time really to bring it up. And plus me telling a big story in the middle of talking with the sheriff about this crime. I use the illustration of like walking through the park and either picking up, stepping over, or adding to the trash, right? And I had an experience that when I went to Israel, and this is, my goodness, 20 years ago, maybe something like that, 15 years ago. And we went to Israel and, we were mostly in the Israeli portions and not much in the Palestinian portion. I mean, we weren't in the West Bank, or weren't in the Gaza at all. We were in the West Bank for some period of time. But we were for a little bit because there were a couple of places to see that were in the Palestinian areas. And one of the things that really stood out to me at the time was there's no way to say this diplomatically. It was dirty. Okay? The Palestinian areas were dirty, littered. Cluttered. And I mentioned it, I kind of asked our guy, I said, it's weird. Like when you're in the Jewish areas, it's not like that. But when you're in the Arab areas, it is like that. And he said, so one of the things that's different between the Jews and the Muslims in this area is that the Jews have this idea that the common space is everybody's responsibility. And the Muslims, Arabs, just don't have that idea. The common space is not their problem. And so the common spaces look terrible. Now, if you went inside the houses, the Arab houses are immaculate on the inside. It's not about an idea of what's clean and what's not clean. It's about what part of the world is reflecting on you. And to the Arabs and, you know, the West Bank, the inside of the home reflects on you and the street doesn't reflect on you. And I was thinking about that in the context here. You know, it's a matter of what's the cultural idea of responsibility. And that's not something that you can fix with teaching one person. That's something that, you know, really is a, you know, sort of community-wide or culture-wide kind of concept. And so that idea that it's not my responsibility, it's not my business, I don't want to get involved, it's easy to kind of shoehorn that cultural concept or lack of cultural concept into I'm afraid of retaliation or something like that, when it's really different than that. It's really something else. It's, you know, the idea of, do all of the people in the group feel like it's their obligation to help maintain the communal whatever it is, whether it's the clean park or the information sharing about criminals. You know, there's all kinds of different ways in which that difference can play out. And to me, that was a really poignant moment when I was in Israel. You know, you can talk about, is that judgment of a culture or not? I'm just telling you that's kind of how it is. And that's why it is. And so why do you see maybe lack of cooperation? Because there is a different cultural notion of whether it's even any of my business to be involved in that stuff. 5:56 on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay.
At Pinnair Credit Union, we know that road trips don't start by driving into the sunset. A day at the beach doesn't begin with packing the car. Even car shopping doesn't really start at the dealership. Your new car journey begins with an auto loan pre-approval from Pinnair Credit Union, because at Pinnair, auto financing is easy. And when you get pre-approval before you shop, you'll be ready to hit the road when you find the perfect car. Get started at Pinnair.org/car loan. Whether it's new, used, or refinanced, vehicle loans from Pinnair Credit Union fit you perfectly. Federally insured by NCUA, Equal Opportunity Lender.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1, to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services. Advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
Serving overseas was just the beginning. We might be home from war, but our mission continues in communities all across the country. It's why we're out there in times of peace and crisis, providing meals to the hungry and supplies to the sick. It's why we're giving strength to those who are too weak and bringing resources to those without them. Service doesn't stop when we're done serving. It's what makes us the VFW. Learn more at vfw.org.
News Radio Pensacola is your trusted source for hurricane coverage. We have a team of experienced broadcast experts who are dedicated to keeping you informed about the latest weather conditions and forecasts. We'll provide you with up-to-the-minute updates on any developing storms, as well as safety tips and information on how to prepare for a hurricane. So for the latest hurricane coverage, stay tuned to News Radio Pensacola on AM 1620, 92.3, 95.3, and on HD Radio at 98.7. We'll keep you safe. When you listen to News Radio 92.3 on Sundays, you get Christian Outlook at 7, Ask the Preacher at 8, Town Hall Review, Fox News Sundays, The Weekend, Tech It Out, and Gun Talk at 8.
5:59 here on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. David Wayne has time for one half of one headline. Go, David.
Well, all right then. How about this one? Former President Donald Trump's invite to the National Association of Black Journalists Convention sparking some backlash, but he will be participating in a Q&A today with political journalists about issues facing the black community.
When Obama went to Notre Dame, I gave him credit for going to Notre Dame and being honest about
local
his
news every hour and.